This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University. In this second podcast for the second week, I want to talk about style. And I want to start by asking, what's wrong with this story? NHS waiting times have shot up in the West Midlands since the coalition government came to power, Labour's shadow health secretary claimed. John Healey slammed NHS reforms as he spoke to the Birmingham Mail during Labour's annual conference in Liverpool. He highlighted official figures published by the Department for Health, which appeared to show waiting times increasing. But the Department for Health insisted Labour was giving a misleading impression and said waiting times had not changed. In the last 15 months of the Labour government, before last year's general election, 49,970 people waited more than 4 hours in A&E wards in the West Midlands before they received treatment. But in the 15 months since the election, this had increased to 87,685. Now, that's a story from the Birmingham Mail, and I've actually taken it from the Birmingham Mail website, but it was clearly written for print. And in answer to the question, what's wrong with it? Well, there's nothing wrong with it if you're reading it in print, because that format, that style, is designed for print. It's designed for a medium where you are sitting down, relaxing, you're reading that newspaper, you can't interact with it, and you can't interact with other people around it. But if I read that on a podcast, it might sound a little bit forced. You might write it differently for radio or for a podcast. In fact, the very way that I read that was actually involved decisions, if you like, involved decisions of style and intonation, which actually added something which wasn't in the story itself. So the point is that the story itself, the story format, is designed for a particular medium. It's designed for print. And if you write for the radio or if you write for television, you will write in a different way and you will edit in a different way. And online presents new challenges. It's not the same. You wouldn't write the same for radio as you would for print, so why would you write the same for the web? And it's further complicated online because you not only have a different medium, but you have different platforms and you have different audiences. So the decisions for you as a journalist become more complicated. If you're writing for a newspaper, you have a limited amount of options in terms of what medium you're going to choose. For example, you're going to have to use text. The place in which that text is placed will be relatively consistent. It will be in the news pages or the feature pages, maybe a magazine insert, but you've got a limited amount of choices. Online, it might be on a blog, it might be on a news website, it might be a podcast, it might be on Twitter or Facebook or Flickr or YouTube, and the list goes on and on. So you have a number of different style choices. Likewise, each of those platforms might have a different audience, experiencing that medium in a different context. And you have to bear all of these in mind. So it's worth thinking critically about the structure and style of what you're writing. A traditional news article has a very particular format. It starts with an action or a reaction. Someone has done something or reacted to something that someone else has done. It then goes into a bit of context, where it happened, why it happened, when, and so on. And then there will probably be further action and reaction. So what happened next, or someone reacting or disagreeing with the original opinion, and further reaction and further context until the story has been exhausted or the space has been exhausted. Now, that works in print, but one of the problems with the web is that you might have particular objectives. Commercially, for example, you might be looking for engagement. You might be looking to demonstrate to advertisers that your users spend longer on your site, that they comment on the site, that they share your stories with other people. And a closed style article, such as those which are traditionally written in print, doesn't necessarily fulfil those objectives. One of the problems with the traditional news article is it's very finished, it's very complete. It leaves very little room for people to have some input into that, and so they're less likely to hang around and comment on it. It's also very predictable. It has to be predictable because it needs to be easy for journalists to turn around quickly and for sub-editors and editors to cut. But that predictability means that people are likely to spend less time reading it because you will get the story in the first couple of paragraphs. So when you move online, if you've got different commercial imperatives, if you've got different platforms and different audiences, then your style might change. And style has changed. In the last few years in particular, we've seen the rise of a number of new formats of journalism, which are web native. The live blogging format, for example, has become very popular very quickly in the space of just a few years. Live blogs are now used incredibly widely. They're on the front pages of pretty much every national broadsheet news website. And in some cases, they are the primary piece of navigation in some news websites. And the reason is because they're very sticky. People spend a long time on them. They're great for those statistics that news organisations like to show advertisers. But live blogging is very different to the traditional narrative. It never ends and it presents new problems. And in fact, the medium itself of live blogging isn't really finished. We still don't know what's the best way to live blog something. And it may be, for example, that for your exploratory portfolio, the first assignment, that you choose to look at live blogging as the type of online journalism that you explore. Another type of journalism which has come to prominence very quickly in the last few years is the explainer. This is something that gives the background to an ongoing news story, something that hasn't really been possible in print or broadcast because of time and space constraints. And so if you've got, for example, a long-running story like the Israel-Palestine conflict or the Arab Spring, the uprisings in Egypt and Tunisia, people quite often will be wondering, what's the backstory to this? I don't understand the context. Yes, I know this is important, but can you explain to me what's happened here? Previously, we had to assume that knowledge. We had to kind of ask people to trust their judgment that this was important. But explainers tap into that hunger for depth, for background, for context. And they've been also incredibly popular, incredibly sticky, and very positive from a commercial point of view. Going further back, you've got interactivity and multimedia, again, web-native types of online journalism. Audio slideshows are a great example of this, a format which barely existed before the web, certainly not as popular as it is now. Maps are becoming particularly important as well, interactive graphics and so on. And we're going to cover those later in the course. But the point is that you need to think about all these different possibilities in terms of how you tell a story. The other point, of course, is that you also have to think about the platforms and how people consume media. There's a tendency when someone starts in radio, for example, when they sit in front of a microphone, to start talking like a DJ at a party. So they say, hey, everybody. But the point is that at a party, you are talking to a group of people. But on the radio, it's likely that you're only talking to one person. One person sat in the car or doing the decorating or listening to you on the headphones. So actually, if you're going to be a radio DJ, you talk as if you're talking to one person. Television is really one of the few media where people consume it in groups. So when people start blogging, they sometimes make the same mistake. They'll say, hey, everybody, as if there's a group of people gathered around the computer. But there isn't. There's going to be one person reading that blog, most likely. So when you write for a blog, you're writing for one person. You're addressing just one person. But when we come to something like Twitter, we hit a really interesting problem because Twitter is kind of consumed by individuals sat at a computer, but there's a sense of a virtual group of people. And so I think it's actually possible on Twitter to talk to people as a group to say, can anyone tell me if this is true? Or can anyone give me any more information on this? Or has anyone suffered from this particular condition or experience? And there'll be similar situations as you come across different platforms. So all I want to really point out is, as you start to publish across different platforms, try to think about how can people consume that media and how you might address them as a result. What kind of register, to use the terminology, you might use in talking to people. So that's the platform. The final point I want to make about the style aspects of things is coming back to the fundamentals of news and what is news. News is, of course, what is new. But what is new can be relative. What is new can be something that happened today. it can be something that's about to happen and has just been announced. Or it can be something that happened 30 years ago, but which we've only been made aware of because a certain set of records has been made available. Or someone has reacted to something which happened a while ago, which no one else was aware of. And it's the reaction which is new, or the release of a document, or the announcement. And we need to carry that same concept of what is new through to the platforms that we're publishing on. What is news is not just what is new, but what is new to that particular network on that particular platform. So it may be that a fact is new and you tweet it, that a discussion is new and you point to that discussion, and so on and so forth. Those are the sorts of things I want you to think about in your content strategy. What is new to that audience, and how you talk to that audience, and what media you choose to tell that story to that audience.